Please turn to Galatians, the letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter number 1. We will read together from verse 1 to verse 5. And the title of our message this morning, Absolute Deliverance. Absolute Deliverance. Galatians chapter number 1, verse, we will read from verse 1 to verse 5. And it reads as following. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our Father, let me read verse 6 as well, to whom we glory forever and ever, the Church of God, say Amen. We are looking at absolute deliverance. And church, these days, there is so much talking about deliverance. There are so many who follow such people who speak about deliverance with the hope that they will be delivered. There are those who wish to be delivered from what they call generational curses. We have heard of these things. There are those who want to be delivered from sickness. And we all want to be delivered from sickness from time to time. There are those who want to be delivered from bad luck. People believe that there must be deliverance from bad luck. There are those who want to be delivered from tokolosis or tokolosh, which we hear that this tokolosis or tokolosh, they come at night and torture the people. That's what we hear. And people are streaming to some places that they may receive some kind of deliverance because they are tortured day in and day out. And some wants to be delivered from what they call spiritual husbands, which is something that does not exist, just a stupid and insane concept from some insane people saying that there is something called spiritual husband. In other words, there is a man who comes by night and sleep next to you, white woman, or sleep with you. Then you need to be delivered from such things. What I like about the concept of deliverance when people speak about it, even though in a wrong way, is the fact that we all agree that people need to be delivered. Somehow we agree that we need to be delivered. But the problem is that people are seeking this deliverance from wrong people and for wrong reasons. Then they will follow those who torture the Bible and brainwash people into believing that they need those kinds of deliverance. I remember not long ago talking to a pastor, a friend, and he was telling me about a church member who is saved, and this church member loves God. This church member saved. This church member is committed in the ministry. This church member prays more than everybody else in the church, but it is one thing that is missing from this church member is deliverance. Why? Because this church member cannot stop herself from sleeping with anyone anyway. So this member who is saved needs to be delivered. You hear the concept of deliverance from the world? But church, is that the kind of deliverance that we need from God? To be delivered from those things, or is there any deliverance that Christ gives to us as a people that once we are delivered in that way, we are completely and absolutely delivered? So, Paul is not writing to deal with deliverance here, but he's passing by and he's speaking this word so that the believer may be reminded of the concept of being delivered.
that they may remember this great truth that God, through Christ, delivered them. He writes to a believer, believers who actually at the time had begun to believe wrongly, believers who had begun to adopt worldly concepts and worldly theology, if you will. Believers who seem to have forgotten the power of the cross. Now they are holding on into things of this world. Believers who are holding on into traditions and the teachings of men. They are following some teachers that they like more than they will love God and the Bible. So Paul is writing to them because they are moving offshore. They are no longer going to the direction in which the gospel directed them to. So he's writing to them so that he may shift their focus back into shore, if you will, that they may come back into the narrow and straight path, the way, the truth, and life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may no longer hold into traditions and the teachings of men, but that they may hold on to the power of the cross. That they may not follow these false teachers who infest their false doctrine in the church, telling people that they need this and that instead of reminding them that they have the Lord Jesus Christ. So, before these people could sink deeper into spiritual graves, if you will, before they could sink deeper and to rise no more, Paul pens this letter to them. He reminds them of the great salvation they have obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants them to see the manner of love in which God has bestowed upon them, that they are now called the children of God. So in his introduction, Paul tells them of the absolute work of Christ in their lives. We need to be reminded of the absolute work of God in our lives. The work which has delivered them from the kingdom of darkness unto the marvelous light of God. So therefore this morning, church, there are three facts about deliverance that I want us to draw from this passage that we have read, especially verses 3 to 5. Three facts about deliverance. Firstly, Paul tells us that Christ died for our sins. That is where deliverance begins. Christ died for our sins. Verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, please, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father. Church, Christ's dying for us is the most important concept or truth that we can grasp. Because once we know that Christ actually died for us, we are able to go further and ask the question, why did he die for us? You need to know that Christ died for you. Then once you know that Christ died, why did he die? Because once you get to understand the value, the weight of the death of Christ, you will understand how free or not free you are. Christ died for us. So says the Apostle Paul. Paul says this Christ gave himself for our sin. That is the first thing we need to acknowledge in our lives. And many of us here knows this truth, that Christ died for us. And when Christ died for us, God through him, we understand that God through him was demonstrating his love for us. Because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That is the greatest love a person can show, to give himself for someone else, to die on someone else's stead, on someone else's place. So we grasp that concept first if we want to be free. If we want to be delivered, we grasp that concept that Christ died for us. So Paul is identifying this Jesus in his introduction to these people. He's introducing or reintroducing this Jesus to these people or these believers as their source but please notice, church, a primary source, a source of all sources of their salvation, as the source of their salvation and source of their deliverance. Jesus is the source of their deliverance. They will not have hope and joy if Christ did not die. They will not have hope and joy if it was not for the cross of Christ. Christ for their sake. Christ for our sake. Christ for the sake of God's elect gave himself freely. He came down from heaven. He came down from heaven as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And for our sins, he was nailed on the cross. But please notice, he gave himself for us. He gave. There is a sense of willingness. Christ was not compelled to die for anyone. Christ died for us willingly. Because Jesus was able and capable of coming down from that cross, church. He was able to come down from the cross, but he chose not to. He was even able and capable of stopping the cross from happening. But Jesus chose not to do so. Why? So that he may die for a people, that the people may be set free, because once they are free, nothing else can keep them captive. He gave himself willingly for us. So as we aim to understand deliverance, we have to realize that Jesus gave himself for our sins. But as we say, he gave himself for our sins, we need to put in our mind and be reminded that he did not just give himself for some sins, but all our sins. You can think of any big, little sin that you may think of. He died for all, and in that context, all means all. He died for all our sins. Sins of the past, which includes, if that exists, it includes those generational cases, it includes those bondage of the past, sins of the past, he died for them. Sins of the present, he died for them. Sins of the future that you will commit tomorrow, knowingly or not knowingly, he died for them and give you the power then to recognize the sins of tomorrow, that you may come back to him and actually ask for forgiveness and repent before him. He died for all our sins, past, present, future sins. For our sake, he chose to be condemned. For our sake, he chose to lay down his life, a ransom for many. John says he became a propitiation for our sin. What does that mean? He became a wrath remover. God was pleased to pour his wrath upon him. He became somebody who would absorb the full wrath and the full potent power, wrath of God upon him for our sake. He stood where we should have stood. And God punished him for our sin of the past, present, and future. Breaking the bondage, breaking any link that there is between you and the world in terms of sin and any spiritual connection. So there is nothing that Christ did not break when he died. Paul brings that argument and says, he died for us. So as we think of deliverance, we need to move back and say, if Christ died for my previous sin, so is there anything that keeps me or pulls me back or has a hold on me from the past? The answer is, there isn't. Christ died for our sin. Church, he died for our sin. He delivered us, so that we may no longer need any kind of deliverance today. The reason why Christ died once and for all is that we may not need any additional deliverance from anything, rather than being continuously delivered from the trials of this life. That is true. We must continuously be delivered from the trials of this life, from the evil spirit of this life, from jealousy in this life, from strife and rage in this life, from gossip in this life. We must continue to be delivered from that. But absolute deliverance has already happened. We agree on that one. Therefore, church, it is important to understand that as believers, we have already the victory over Satan and demons. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We have victory over Satan and demons. Nothing of Satan and of demons is able and capable to hold us in the past. Christ died for us. His death delivered us from the power of Satan. That is what we need to understand. Of course, like I was saying, there is a continuation of deliverance in our lives. When Christ died, he delivered us. But there is something of a continuation of deliverance in our life. And that is to be delivered from Satan and demons' influence. Not power, but influence. The Satan and demons continues to influence people. They continue to whisper in people's ears and minds that people may do evil. That we need to be continuously delivered from. But not from his power, not from his bondage, we are no longer under his power, but from influence of demons and influence of Satan, we must be delivered. And how do we get delivered from that? Yes. Through prayer, you can think of many things. But the Bible gives us something beautiful. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 6. If you open Ephesians chapter number 6 together, it tells us of the whole armor of God. As we read from verse 11 to verse 18. That is what we need. We need this not to be delivered from spiritual husbands, from whatever they generational cases may be. No. We are already delivered from this. We need this to be delivered from the influence of the devil. From our own sin in our daily lives. That we may stand strong in the Lord. That we may be those who represent the King of Kings in this world. Paul says here in verse 11 to 18, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against cosmic power over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up, listen, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, that's number one, you fasten the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as of shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, not in some circumstances, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. We live by faith. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all. Did you hear the church? There are these things which are called, or this thing which is called the armor of God. We need to put on the armor of God to be saved from the influence. But we are already delivered from the power of Satan. The book of Hebrews gives us even more assurance in this life. For our deliverance, it speaks of Christ who died for us. It says Christ died for us and he entered the most holy place once and for all. Why did he enter the most holy place? He to obtain for us, listen church, eternal redemption. Redemption is to be, it's a concept to be redeemed, to be set free. It speaks of eternal redemption. We obtain in Him eternal redemption so that we may receive the promise of the inheritance, our eternal inheritance. Somewhere again in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that for by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who have been saved. Please pause there. Christ, by a single offering, that is Him dying on the cross, He has perfected. He made us perfect. Not in the human sense of being perfect, but in a spiritual sense of being perfect. Christ has made us perfect, making sure that there is no longer any link between us and the world, making sure that there is nothing that attaches itself to us from the world that would like sink us deep into bondage one more time. He has set us free. He gave Himself for us. All the past bondages and all the link to all the bondages of the past was destroyed in Him completely. And now we can joyfully sing like free people. My chains are gone. I am set free. My Savior has ransomed me. My Savior has ransomed me. Unending love, amazing grace. We can sing that because He has ransomed us. Do you get the church? Amen. Secondly, another thing that Paul mentions here, Christ rescued us from this present evil age. Paul identifies this world where we are. Please listen, if you didn't know this world, it is about time you know this world. Paul calls it the present, not past. Our sins belongs in the past. Our life of the past belongs in the past. We have been made anew, seated with Christ in the heavenly places. But that did not change the world where we are. So we are walking in the dark streets of this world, being the children of God, while we are walking in the world that is not of God, of God. The world remains the present evil age. Verse 4. Christ gave Himself for us to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Church, we cannot deny the fact that this age belongs to the devil. Satan is allowed so much power in this world. That we cannot deny. Though we don't belong in this world anymore, but the devil has power in this world. So we cannot look down to the influences of this world and live like some kind of people who live in a heaven or some celestial world somewhere. We need to be aware that the world we are living in is an evil age. This age, this period that we are in is an evil world, is an evil period. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. You can write it. Paul says there, listen what Paul says there. The God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. There is a God of this age. That God of this age, the good news is, as much as He is in charge of this age, He is no longer in charge of you if you are in Christ. Is that not the good news? Although He is in charge of the things of this world, as Paul says here, that He has blinded the minds of unbelievers, He is unable to blind your mind because you have been set free from the present evil age. You have been delivered. Satan can blind other people, but cannot blind you completely. He may mislead you for a little while. He may misguide you for a little while because we still live in this body of sin. He may tempt you for a little while and lead you into greater temptations for a little while, but He is not in charge of you. Sooner or later, the Lord Himself will snatch you from His hand and set you in the right way. Because He does not have sway over you. He does not have power over you. He does not have control over you. but he has control in this present evil age. So he says, we, through Christ, are delivered from the present evil age. In the words of this verse, I wanted to tell you that the word there, delivered, that word delivered, or deliverance in that verse, verse 4, it speaks of being plucked out. You are being plucked out of a dangerous zone. You are being uprooted, if you will, out of a dangerous zone. And that dangerous zone is the current or the present evil age. It is a dangerous zone for us. But Christ has plucked us out of this evil age. Don't you, church, sense that there is something wrong with this age? If God, through Christ, will come from heaven to pluck us out or uproot us or take us out of this, well, there is something wrong with this current age. That is why we need to be delivered from this age. But please notice, there's the point here. Since we're talking about deliverance and true deliverance or absolute, here's the point. Please listen. Delivered from the present evil age. We are not talking here, Paul is not talking here about being delivered from some influences, about being delivered from some strongholds or some spiritual battles of this world. Those things are minor to the Apostle Paul. Those things are minor. Paul is not interested in being delivered from curses and bad luck and lack of whatever. He's speaking of a global deliverance. Delivered from a present evil age. And whatever then is in that age, whether curses, whatever it may be, therefore we are delivered from. So we are not here to pick and choose a few concepts, strongholds and spiritual battles where we will pray for one another or stand like in a queue. So to deliver one another from curses, no. We are talking about the big curse here, the present evil age. We are delivered from the bigger curse than spiritual curses and all the things that people mention. No, we are delivered from the present evil age. We are delivered from the age itself. And that is absolute deliverance. Won't you believe? Won't you agree? That is absolute deliverance if you are delivered from the present evil age. You sense here that Christ has set us free from a bigger and a stronger chain than the little chains that people run around and unloose and do each and every Sunday. We are being delivered from a greater chain, the chain which is called present evil age. That is why Christ said, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So if the Son sets you free and you are free indeed, ask yourself then, why would you think that you need a better deliverance? Why would you think that when you are saved, you still need to be delivered? If really you are truly saved, we have been set free from a greater bondage. The world itself, Satan himself, by dying on the cross, but now telling us into detail, this world is evil, but we are not part of it. That is what Paul is saying. There is nothing that is linking us anymore to this world. There is nothing that is connecting us to this world. Regardless of the fact that we have friends and families, our houses and our work, that is the things, those are the things that doesn't matter. There is nothing spiritually that links us to the current or present evil age. We are set free. So when you are sick, doesn't mean that you need deliverance. You need healing. And people may swap around and say, you need to be delivered. You need healing. But as we are saying, you need healing. God has provided. God can miraculously heal you if he wants to. God can open your eyes and show you a hospital where you should go, because God has given people wisdom and knowledge to heal. God can allow you to drink herbs. African herbs can heal people. Yes, we drink. There is nothing wrong with drinking African herbs. What's wrong with it? As long as you don't go to the Sangoma and pull it up. No. But you can buy African herbs. You drink. You get healed. You can go to the hospital. You get healed. You can go to the clinic. You get healed. God, we can pray for you. Some we prayed for them. They got healed. That doesn't mean you needed to be delivered from a demon. You already are being delivered. Those are the two different things. The point is, let us not have people misleading us. Let's move on. We need to be delivered from this age. Why? It is in this age, this present evil age, where true worship is ignored and is replaced by some kind of singing in the churches that appear and appease men. Worship has been replaced by singing, emotional singing and dancing in this present evil age. It is in this present evil age where the Bible is closed and prophecy is something to do these days. It is in this present evil age where prayer is replaced by some humbly babbling kind of gibberish in the churches, where people does not want to pray. They just want to go till to the end without knowing what they are saying. There is no truth. There is no deep connection with God, even if they can shout glory, glory to God when they do those things. There is no glory. There is no God. But it is in this present evil age where Christ's deliverance for you, which I'm talking about, Christ's deliverance for you is separated. Spiritual deliverance now is separated from the deliverance of the whole man. People, they tell you you are delivered, but you still need deliverance. Church, no. You are delivered from the present evil age. There is one deliverance. There is one Christ. We are delivered. And when we speak of an age, so that we understand what we are talking about one more time, the Bible speaks of two ages. The present evil age and the age to come. Why is it important? Because we are delivered from the present evil age unto the coming age. The present evil age is that age which began at the fall of Adam. When Adam fell into sin, that was the introduction of the present evil age. And that present evil age will run through until the future return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that present evil age will stop there. Because Christ, when he returns, he will take us to be with him in heaven. And he shall bring judgment upon the people who has not believed. The Bible says, with the shout of an archangel, the graves will be opened. He shall come from heaven, and he will snatch us as it were. We shall meet him in the clouds, so says the Bible, and we shall come with him that he may judge the world. And it's going to happen. So we are delivered from this world, which will be judged, into the world where judgment shall not be seen. So it is important to understand these two ages. This age is that immoral world in which we live in. The world under the dominion and the tyranny of Satan. The world of sin. The world of fleshy desires, and whereby fleshy desires are being entertained. The fleshy desire takes prominence in the people's lives, and they are entertained even at the expense of the human soul. Where you go out to do things to please you, even though they cause you death. It happens in this present evil age. A world of witchcraft and crime. A world of drunkenness and drug abuse. A world of homosexuality and abortion. This present evil age. A world of an age of chaos and disorder. Where right is wrong and wrong is right. That is the world we are talking about. But we are delivered from this world. I remember watching a TV, so that you know this is a present evil world or age. I was watching TV some years ago. There was a series playing on national TV. Can't remember what it was, but I remember these two women coming into hospital to check their daughter, because one of the women is the husband of the other. That's the present evil age. world. So they're coming into the hospital to check on this daughter, and they're holding each other's arms in a very intimate way, in a way that a husband will hold a wife's hand. They are holding each other, and you know, they are brushing each other, and they're coming into the hospital, and there is this man sitting there looking at them, and he's shaking his head. But check this. As he was shaking his head, one of the women, I don't know the husband or the wife, but I guess it's the wife because it was aggressive. She says to him, what are you looking at? Is there anything strange that you're seeing? But these are the words that she said. Welcome to the 21st century. In other words, you are left behind. These things are okay right now. You are the only one who's left behind. Oh, friends. He's not the only one who's left behind. The Bible, therefore, is left behind. Because the Bible does not have the 21st century. It's called an evil age and the age to come. So we are delivered from the current and the present evil age. We are no longer part of it. And it's nothing of this present evil age that has claim on us. Paul writes 2,000 years ago as he writes to the church, and he's telling them of these things. And I'm telling you, church, it is the thing that are still happening today. Nothing of this world has changed since Paul wrote. Nothing of this world will change until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It remains the present evil age. But the good news is this. People have been taken out. People have been snatched from this current evil age spiritually. You have been snatched out. You have been taken up. You have been plucked out of the current and present evil age. And you have been set on the right hand of God. You have been set with Christ in the heavenly places, brother. You are no longer belonging to the present evil age. But why is it so? Because the Christ you have believed in, the Christ you are hoping unto, the Christ you trust, does not belong to this present evil age. He comes from heaven. He is the Holy One of God. He has come to make us holy. So we have this world that is to come that we are hoping for. This world that is to come that we have assurance about, because Christ has set us free. Christ has cut off our link from the present evil age. Listen to Jesus himself in John 17 verse 14. If you can look there. John 17 verse 14. Listen to Jesus speaking very beautiful words that you should take into heart. He says, I've given them your word. Remember, that is where we read today. John 17. Jesus is praying for those who are there, but saying, I'm not only praying for those who are with me, but those who will believe in their word. So believe in me through their word. He's praying. So he says now in his prayer, he's talking to God now. I've given them your word, and your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You see, we are not of the world, just as Christ is not of this world. So according to Jesus, we are already not of this world, although we are still breathing our last in this world. We are still breathing our last in this world. We are not of the present evil age. But church, the prerequisite, the requirement, how to get into the world to come, what is the prerequisite? Is to be delivered from the present evil age. We must be set free from the present evil age. So the idea that Paul is bringing to these believers, or this information that is imposing unto them in their minds, in his introduction, is that they will ask themselves, you need to pull back and pause and ask yourself, if God has delivered us from this present evil age, why should we conform to the standard and the teachings of this world? That is the question each and every person should ask. Why will I consider the cross no more? Because these people were no longer considering the cross as absolute as it is. They wanted to add other things over and above the message of the cross. And that is the same thing with the deliverance movement of today. They want to add something over and above true deliverance that has already happened. Separating salvation and being born again. I was told this morning somebody was separating salvation and being born again. I don't know how you separate salvation from being born again. I don't get it. But that is what is happening in this world. But we are set free from such a world. Paul is saying, ask yourself, why would you not hold on to the cross which has set you free? The cross that has delivered you. Why do you think that the gospel is not enough? Why would you think that Christ's death is not enough and you want more deliverance? No, stop. You don't want more deliverance. You have been delivered from the present evil age. There is nothing of this present evil age that has hold on you. You need to remember all that. Are we together? We are delivered from where? The present evil age. Christ has set us free. The third thing that I want us to see. Christ gave himself for us according to the will of God. That is very important. Let me just say it on the onset. If it was the will of God that Christ is delivered, then our deliverance is according to the will of God. The question is, who and what can stand against the will of God? If our deliverance is according to the will of God, is there anything that can undeliver us? Is the question. Is there anything that can undeliver us, that we may need more deliverance day by day? No. It is according to the will of God. Who can resist the will of God? Who can change the will of God? Verse 4, towards the end. Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Church, our deliverance was, in other words, deliberate. Our deliverance was planned. Christ's death was not an accident. Christ's death was not an example which God wanted to do and then actually making an example so that people may know how he would deal with sinners. No. Christ's death was not a mistake. Christ's death was not planned by men, Herod, Pilate, or the Jews. No. Christ's death was God's plan. It was according to his will. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter number 2, verse 23. We are learning here today, eh? We are learning. Paul says, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But it was according to the will of God that Christ died. That is why I'm saying, if Christ delivered to us, if Christ's death was according to the will of God, Christ's deliverance to us is also according to the will of God. The question once again, who can undo the will of God? No one can undo the will of God. So you don't need, in other words, deliverance each and every day because you cannot rewrite or reroute, whatever you want to say, the will of God. You see, church, when there's a building that is on fire, firefighters, they run into that building. They run to rescue people in the building. But there is something you need to know. Firefighters don't start the fire. The fire is not ignited according to their will. They go to a fire that is already there to save people's lives. But they are not in charge of the fire, how it started. They go and rescue somebody. In the same concept, but even more better, Christ comes into the world to rescue us as though we are those on a burning house. But, church, God, according to his will, he sent this Christ to do so. It is God's will. In other words, God knows from the beginning. He knows from on hand, beforehand rather, what Christ will do. Christ gave his life for us according to the will of God. A firefighter who gives his life for you is not according to his will. It's not according to his will. He also wants to be alive, but Christ, it was according to his will that he dies for us. that is greater deliverance. Christ died according to the will of God. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 53, it says, it pleased God to crush his son. God crushed his son. It pleased him to crush his son. But why did God crush his son? So that you and I may be set free. It happened according to the will of God, church. It didn't come. So, in other words, Christ did not come to rescue us from famine. You have people thinking that Jesus is coming to, he has come to rescue us from starvation, hunger, and pains and sorrows. No, Jesus Christ did not come to rescue us from starvation and hunger and from terrible countries to better countries. No. He has come to do the will of God. And what is the will of God? That he may set the captives free. That he may set those who have been kept by the devil free. And as he set them free, by his grace, you can be rescued from starvation. You can be rescued from a famine, from any calamity of this world. But the primary reason he came is to set the captives free, to do the will of God. And here, some things you need to remember as you speak of the will of God. The will of God is to save sinners. You can write down, the will of God is to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 15. That's where you see the will of God. Firstly, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. That's number one. That was his will. So it happens according to the will of God, firstly, to save sinners. Secondly, to bring light into the world. Because this is a dark world. This is a present evil age. So Jesus comes to bring light into the world. John 12, verse 46. Ukangwala. John 12, 46. I have come into the world as light, so that those who believe in me may not remain in darkness. Church, these words are powerful. Those who believe in me may not remain in darkness. Those who believe in me may not have to struggle with generational curses and all the curses upon the curses that comes with the curses. He has set us free. He has come to bring light. So when the light shines, you are set free. That was the second thing, which is the will of God. Thirdly, to become one of us, that we may become like him. Church, to become one of us, that we may become like him. Is Jesus a slave of generational curses? No. So why should we be slaves of generational curses? Why should we need more deliverance if Jesus died once and he wants to deliver once? You get the point? He came so that we may be like him. Fourthly, the will of God is to tell the world of absolute truth. He wanted the world to know the truth. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to Jesus in John 18, verse 37. The Bible says that Pilate said to him, Pilate is speaking to Jesus, so you are the king? That's the question. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose, I was born, and for this purpose, I have come into the world. This is the will of God. The purpose I was born, what is it? To bear witness to the truth. That's why Jesus came, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, listen to my voice, not the voice of strangers. Number five, the will of God to abolish the works of devil, to abolish the works of Satan, to destroy the works of Satan. So, if generational curses and all the curses that we need to be delivered from according to the world are Satan's ways, Jesus came to abolish, and on that cross the Bible tells us that he triumphed over him, put him to open shame. He was victorious on that cross. Satan was defeated. Deliverance was given unto us. Number six, to seek and to save the lost. That is the will of God, to seek and to save the lost. Luke number 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came, church. Not to give you a good house, not to give you a free meal, not to give you money in your bank, not to make you win the lottery. He came that to seek that which was lost. Number 7, which is last in my point here, the will of God is to make us partakers of the divine nature. It was the will of God that we will be changed from the persons that we were into a new person that Christ is. That we may tap into, if you will, the divine nature of God. That in a way God may live in us. That something of God may live within us. That in a way we may be as God will be, in a way. That we may, in other words, we may be no longer of the world, but of a different world. Of course, we still need to be glorified when Christ returns. Then we'll be fully like him. We'll fully take that divine nature. Christ, when he comes, the Bible says, we will be changed with the twinkling of an eye. We will lose this body and a new body, undefeated and an uncorrupted body we shall wear. Then we will take on. But where did it start? Church, where did it start? Christ died for us. That's where it started. Christ deliver us from the present evil age. Christ dies according to the will of God. Therefore, it is the will of God that we are set free and are free indeed. So I can pose the question. If all this that I'm saying and all the things that I didn't say which are true, that you know they are true, if all this was the will of God for Christ to die for us, can we continue to think that we need a better deliverance? No, we don't need a better deliverance. We have a deliverance. The Bible is clear that we are delivered once and for all. That we may live our lives into the glory of God. That we may bless God. That we may sing aloud each and every day with joy filled in our own heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefit. He who has healed you from all your diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he has done a great thing. He has delivered us from the present evil age. Let me close like this. There are a few things that you need to remember. Deliverance can only come through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliverance can only come through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is that death was once and deliverance is once. Seek, if you need to be delivered, seek that death of Christ. Hold on to that death of Christ. Be saved by that death of Christ. Remain because of that death of Christ. It was once and for all. It will never happen again. Yes, let us continue to seek deliverance from evil on daily basis. As the Bible says, deliver us from evil. But that is not to be delivered from spiritual bondages. Is to be delivered from influence of this world. We are delivered. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. His death brought deliverance. So we don't go and seek for something that is more. Because if you seek for deliverance one more time, you are actually saying you are seeking something more than the death of Jesus. Is there anything more than the death of Jesus? No way. So we are being delivered by the absolute death. That's why we have absolute deliverance. So we need to trust and depend on his death. Secondly, don't worry yourself about this present evil age as I explained it to you. It's present, it's evil, it's corrupt, it's deadly. But don't worry yourself about this present evil age. It shall pass away. But here's the thing. Make sure that you don't pass away with the present evil age. You need to be delivered from this present evil age. Make sure that you receive absolute deliverance. Make sure that no temporal challenge of this world or suffering of this world of any kind that comes to you tells or whisper in your ear that you still need more deliverance. Make sure that you understand that you are truly delivered. the present evil age, church, has no hold on you. This age has no hold on you. What has a hold on you? Your future with Christ. Christ embraced you, holds you with his arm, with his hands, and he put you around his arms, that you may not be lost in this present evil age. That the generational curses and all the curses upon curses that people want to cut loose from you may not come to you. Christ is in you and you are in him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Thirdly, the death of Christ has happened according to the will of God. Therefore, our deliverance, as I was saying, has happened according to the will of God. So, you don't go out and force to be delivered. You cannot force to be delivered. You don't go out and plan to be delivered. Deliverance is not your plan. You don't hope out there that there is a man that will deliver you. There is one man that has delivered you or that will deliver you. That is Christ Jesus. So you don't look unto the world. You put your eyes on the Lord. Only he, according to his will, can deliver you. What you need is true deliverance, and that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that we must be delivered. Therefore, no one can change or undo the will of God for you. You are delivered from the present evil age. Christ died for you according to the will of God, and it is the will of God that you may remain in him forever. Once again, praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we don't need false teachers to promise us a different kind of deliverance. We don't need any voice to tell us of something better than Christ. We don't need tradition. We don't need teachings of men. We don't need a new gospel, as it were. Oh Lord, we have received what is right, as according to the Apostle Paul writing to the churches. Keep this truth unto us. May we cherish this truth. According to your will, we pray. Lord, keep your children in the love of Christ, that they may hold on to that which they have received, that they may not go out and seek something better, for there is nothing better than Christ. That they may not seek something to add on Christ, because you cannot add or take anything away from him. But that they may be happy and content in Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, keep us safe from the evil one, we pray. May his influence, demonic influence, whatever influence he may have in this world, may that not influence us to the point that we find ourselves in the depths of hell. We pray that in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we all say amen.